everybody, we're back. Yay, television. Better than books. It's a terrible message. Don't read, watch. My first guest, of course, was a cast member on Saturday Night Live. Starting tomorrow night, you can see him in his brand new series, A Minute with Stan Hooper. Please welcome Norm Macdonald.
Huh?
You big show business guy, you?
Yeah, man.
How are you? What are you talking about? Look at what? You look nice.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You look great. I like the sweater and everything. You look
very
good.
Yeah, I got a sweater. I got the pants.
Yeah. I'm glad you went with pants this time. That's good. When you don't wear the pants, that's very upsetting. Hey, are you glad? I just want to know, because I haven't talked to you in a little while. Are you glad to be back in New York City?
Oh,
is it good for you to get back?
It's the greatest city in the world.
Oh, look, and people applauded.
I love New York. I lived here for 5 years. It's fantastic. I went today to see my old doorman, Steve.
Was he your doorman in the old days when you were just getting started out?
Yeah, just when I got started out, I got an apartment building. Adam Sandler got me in it. And it was funny because I was, my first year on Saturday Night Live, I was hardly on anything. You know, I was a writer. And Sandler would always go to the doorman, hey, Norm's on Saturday Night Live. And they'd be kind of suspect, you know?
Right.
And so anyways, one time I did a sketch on the show.
Uh-huh.
They just put me in a sketch, and the idea was that I was a bad, I can't remember it.
Can't remember what?
I was a bad what? The idea was that it was a bunch of celebrity impersonators, and I was a celebrity impersonator. I was Chekhov from the Star Trek.
Right.
And the joke was I didn't sound anything like him. Like, they go, hey, do it, and I go, beam me up, Scotty.
Right.
It didn't sound much like him.
Right.
So it wasn't a very good sketch.
Right.
But anyways, my doorman, Steve, was thrilled because he'd actually seen me on the TV, you know. So the next day I come down from my elevator, and Steve's there, and he's like, hey, beam me up, Scotty. How you doing, beam me up, Scotty?
Right.
So then for the next 5 years, I was on the show.
Even when you were on a lot.
Yeah, then I became a mega superstar on the show. And and yet, to Steve, I was always beam me up, Scotty. He'd never seen anything else.
He never watched it again.
Never watched it again. So you go, how you doing today? Beam me up, Scotty. You know, and I go, good, Steve, good.
Yeah.
And one time I was walking out of my building, and Steve was there, the doorman, with his buddy, and he goes, hey, beam me up, Scotty. Come on over here, man. He goes, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. He goes, you know who this is, right? And the guy goes, no. And he goes, this is beam me up, Scotty. He goes, do it for him. So I went, beam me up, Scotty. And then the guy went.
It's like
and
the worst.
Steve said, he doesn't know nothing, this guy. So I went
just stay away
him
from
today.
That
I
guy.
Went to him. I just saw him earlier today.
And he still calls you that?
Hey, beam me up, Scotty.
Oh,
what's
man.
Up?
Now, you know, I don't see you that much because I heard you're afraid. You don't like flying. You really don't like flying.
No, I don't care for flying.
And you don't like one of the things, and I don't know if it's true, but you don't like it because they search you at the airports now.
Yeah, well, I went to Canada, you know, my home land,
mm-hmm.
and I decided to go there, and they wanted to search me, you know.
Right.
And I said, because I know a lot of this involves, you know, when they search you, they always want to search your ass. So I said...
Well, not always. They don't always want to go down there.
That's what this character wanted.
Yeah.
He thought there was something suspicious looking about my ass. So
yeah.
He's like, I go, well, when we go in the back place, are you going to take me in the back place? Are you any chance you're going to search my ass? And because I don't even want to know what's in my ass.
Yeah.
So he said, well, yes, sir, that's what we will be doing. So I said, you know what? I don't care for Canada that much.
It's not worth that.
Yeah, I just went home. Canada's a nice place and everything like that, but...
Well, also, the way you say it, and I'm just going to point this out, when you go up to someone, any chance you're going to search my ass, it almost sounds like you want them to. That sounds bad. Do you notice that?
Yeah, that's true.
It sounds a little... When the way you say it, it's like, hey, any chance you're going to check the old ass? That sounds like you're wanting them to do it, which might cause problems.
Well, you know, John Glenn actually got searched. I read in the newspaper. You know,
the astronaut.
The astronaut. They actually... they actually, he wanted to get on a plane.
Right.
And they decided to search him because of his this incredible danger he poses to.
They
walked on the damn moon. You think you'd get a free pass for that? But no, they're fiddling around in John Glenn's ass.
No, I can't believe that.
It's ridiculous.
Now, I've never asked you this before, and we've been good friends for many years.
Ah.
Okay, I made that up. But
no. We haven't?
No, we're friends. We're good friends. But I don't know what your... McDonald, is that Irish? Is that Scottish? What's your ethnic background?
My ethnic background is Polish.
Are you really Polish? Wow.
Polish people,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
McDonald, you don't...
Well, my parents changed their names. They
right.
had to because of the constant... ribbing they'd get for being Polish, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so they changed their name to McDonald. But it's one of the things that you can, you know, I mean, I get a little upset about it, you know, because
all
you
the
can't
Polish jokes.
Yeah,
stuff.
You can't make jokes about other people, but for some reason you make jokes about Polish people, you know.
Right.
I don't like it.
Right. You shouldn't. That sounds bad. Yeah.
I mean, I had an experience, you know. I go in and I order a Polish sausage, you know, from this guy, you know. And so the guy says to me, oh, you must be Polish. And I say, come on, man. I mean, come on. Think about it, what you're saying. You know, I'm trying to knock some sense into this fellow's head, maybe give him a wider world view, you know.
Sure, yeah.
I said, you think because I order a Polish sausage, I'm Polish. I said, what if somebody came in here and ordered French toast? Would you think he was French, you know?
Right.
And what if somebody came in here and ordered a Belgian waffle? Would you consider that guy a Belgian,
mm-hmm.
you know? I mean, if a guy came in and ordered a German bratwurst, would you consider that fella to be a German fella?
Right.
I said, what if a guy came in and ordered German potato salad? I suppose you'd think he was German, too. Yeah?
Yeah.
What if a guy...
Wow, you talked to this guy for a while.
I'm telling you, man. With racists, you have to get through.
You have
to
really get it into their head. Right.
I said, if a guy came in, he ordered a Cuban hamburger. Are you going to assume he's a Cuban?
Right.
I said, I think it is absolutely ridiculous that just because I come in and I order a Polish sausage, why would you jump to the fact that I'm Polish?
Right.
And the guy says to me, well, first of all, it's a hardware store.
And you hate Polish jokes, don't you? You just hate them.
No, I think they're disgusting.
Let me ask you quickly. We haven't talked to you in so long. I want to ask you about your family.
My great family. I love them all.
How's your? We used to talk in the old days. You and I used to spin some yarns about Uncle Hector. How's Uncle Hector?
Oh, Uncle Hector. Uncle Hector.
He's Polish too, I'm guessing.
No, he wasn't Polish.
Oh, okay.
No, he was from my cousin's side of the family, and he was. He was a great man, my uncle, you know.
Right.
He was an old fella. He actually rode the rails during the Depression.
Oh.
You know, he was a hobo.
Hobo.
As you might call him. I don't like that term. Whatever.
Tramp or whatever, you.
Railroad bum. And, but he wasn't a bum. He was just out. He was a good, honest man during the Depression searching for work,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had no money, so he'd travel the country trying to find work, and he actually rode the rails,
mm-hmm.
Uncle Hector. And he told me, it was an interesting story, he'd go through, this was in Canada, and there's a town called Kitchener in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And the railroad cops were tough, boy. They were tougher than real cops, you know. They had a law of their own, the railroad cops.
I feel like I should be tucked into bed listening to you. Anyway, a law of their own, those railroad cops.
But there was not a railroad cop tougher than Kitchener Leslie. Oh, boy. He was well known. He was well known for beating hobos to death.
Really? He found a hobo on his train, he beat him to death.
He beat him to death. And so what the railroad bums would all do is, as Kitchener approached, of course... Oh, hey, Norm, how you doing? So,
wow, such focus on these stories.
That wasn't a mirror. That was another guy.
Okay, it was a guy named Ryan.
Yeah. So the railroad bums would all see hop off before they got to Kitchener to avoid being beaten to death by Kitchener Leslie.
Yeah.
Anyways, my Uncle Hector, a good man, you know, and he walked into a mine one day. This is a story for the that they think the young people could learn from.
Don't go mine hopping, kids.
During the height of the Depression, where there was absolutely no work, my Uncle Hector walked into I won't say the name of the mining company. It was McIntyre Mine. And he and he walked in. He had his lunchbox with him and his work boots. And he said, "Sir," he said, "I want a job." And they said, "We have no jobs." He said, "Well, 500 people work here at McIntyre Mine." He goes, "I don't think there are 500 men here better than I." He says, "As a matter of fact, I don't think there are 200 men better than I." He says, I think you'd be strapped to find 100 men better than I." And by golly, he got the job. What do you think of that?
That's a great story.
Now,
I'm sensing there's more. Now back to Kitchener Leslie.
Yeah.
The most dreaded.
No. Uncle Hector.
What?
No.
I'm trying to help you out.
No, Uncle Hector.
Dad, where's the story going?
Uncle Hector worked in a mine, and it's a hellish job, the mine, as you well know. Darkness, you know.
It's dank. Yeah.
It's coaly. It's a lot of.
What?
Well, you're in a coal mine.
It's not coaly. It's coal-ridden.
It's coal-infested.
It's not coaly.
It's coal-infested. So he worked in the mine, and by God, he worked hard. And after a week of working hard, he said to the shift manager, he said, "By golly, I'd like to have a lady. I work hard, and where would I find a lady here in town?" Well, they said to Uncle Hector, they says, "We don't have, we have sex with animals here." "By God," says Uncle Hector, "I'm not going to do that. I'm a normal fella." Well, then be to your own devices then. So,
to your own devices?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uncle Hector continued working in the mine. He worked hard, and he worked long, and he worked for a low wage. But he was a man. And Uncle Hector, after a couple of weeks passed, he started to get a little itch, you know, as you and I say.
Right.
You know,
Right. Well, when we're thinking about
the ladies,
the ladies,
you know?
Yeah.
But he kept it under control. He went again. He said, "Are you sure there's no ladies here?" "No, we have sex with animals." "Ah, my God." Six months passed, and Uncle Hector couldn't take it any longer. He told me.
Right.
He said, "By God, I just had to. I'm just a man. I'm weak. You know. I'm not a saint. You know. And I was born in sin, I suppose. And I couldn't resist. I just needed it." So he said he walked by a pasture, and there was a pig.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. And so Uncle Hector said, he said, "I walked up, and I began having sex with a pig." And he said, all of a sudden, he saw all the miners, like, around him, you know, looking at him. They go, "Uncle Hector, what the hell are you doing over there?" And Uncle Hector's like indignant. He's like, "What? Well, you're the guys that told me that you have sex with animals." They're like, "Uncle Hector, you damn fool. That's Kitchener Leslie's girlfriend." Of all the animals.
Of all the animals that have sex with.
You don't want to say.
And now it's Kitchener Leslie's pig. No, that's terrible.
Not Kitchener Leslie's pig. Kitchener Leslie's lady.
Oh, yeah. You tell quite a yarn, man.
Well, I had shorter ones, but.
There's no other guest tonight. That pretty much.
I have one other funny anecdote, and it's very short.
I don't think we can. No way. Look, my producer's on the phone trying to find out. I think there's no Carson Daly tonight on the show. His whole half hour is gone. Norm MacDonald, everybody. Laura Prepon coming up. We'll take a break. It's right back.